It's another quick take episode for Big Monster Brewing, and in this episode, I'll be talking about the beer I brewed for people that only like beer. That'll make sense in just a minute. Welcome to Big Monster Brewing. I am Matt, and in this episode, I'll be talking about my latest American wheat beer. This is a quick take episode if you're not familiar with those, which you may not be. I've only done one before. It's an episode where I don't have recordings of the brew day. I just kind of talk about the beer I made, tell a little bit of what went into the brewing process, and then go into a tasting. It's a way to keep episodes coming that I don't have those brew day recordings for. In fact, there's going to be another one following this right behind the release of this, and it actually ends up making this the first part of a epic altogether. But listen, continue to listen here and listen to those episodes. That'll make much more sense later. So in the intro, I said, this is a beer for people that drink beer. I made this specifically for the Hamlin Beer Festival, and I picked this style specifically because we were already brewing some very, I don't want to say strange, because they're really good beers and people really like them. Unique beers, unusual beers. Maybe that's a better way to say it. And those beers were, one was Murder Hornet. That's just a weird beer. That's almost like a challenge to drink that sometimes, depending on your heat tolerance. Another beer we had was a carrot cake inspired sour, imperial sour, in fact. It went up, I think, to past 8%. Then we had a banana, vanilla, cinnamon, Weizenbach, a double IPA with honey, a blue raspberry snow cone seltzer that my wife made and is now going to become a staple of our appearances at festivals, at least the snow cone concept. That was huge. And then that left one more spot for a beer for people that are just looking for a beer. And normally, I would like to put a lager in there, like an American lager, an American light lager, or something along. Czech lager, a lager is what I'm trying to say. We had no time. The festival circuit this year, this is no secret to people listening to this show, starts off really busy. We try to get, I mean just beer enthusiasts in general in Florida, Central Florida specifically, and Southern Florida, try to get as many in as possible while the weather is still tolerable. Notice I didn't say nice, because it's never nice. While the weather's tolerable. So that gives us, when the calendar flips over, that gives us about 4 months to get as much in as we can. And we've done as much as we possibly could. We've done 7 festivals by mid-April. That's a lot. That's a lot of festivals, especially for our homebrew club. So turnaround for beers has been, like, you got 2 weeks max, if you're lucky. And I had just 2 weeks. Actually, I think I had 12 days to get a beer for beer drinkers on tap. So I chose American Wheat because that's a fairly fast turnaround, and it's lager-like. It's not a lager, but at least it's in that realm. If someone were to wait in line behind 10 people and then see our menu and then see things that are just not interesting to them because it's not just a beer, a fizzy yellow water drink, that would be, I don't want to do that to somebody. Time is precious at these things, and we want to make a good impression, and we really want to make everyone that visits our tent happy and remember us. So I went with an American Wheat, and it was a pretty decent success. It's hard to be a huge success when you're next to all those beers I mentioned, but it was a pretty, it served its purpose, and it's a fairly simple recipe, although I will say this is it's not entirely kitchen sink recipe where you put in everything you got, including the kitchen sink. It's what I had on hand to make ends meet, although the malt bill is pretty easy. So I'll go ahead and just list this off right now. So it's a 5-gallon batch, and I started with 7 pounds of pale 2-row malt. In fact, I think it was Murphy and Rude pale malt, which I've been using a lot lately. Then to that, I added 3 pounds of white wheat malt, and on top of that, another pound of flaked wheat malt. So malt heavy, or wheat heavy, but not, I don't even think, that's not quite half wheat. That is 11 pounds altogether, 4 pounds are wheat. So not even close to half. It's a third. So it's not a traditional German Hefeweizen beer or any kind of Berliner Weiss where you use half wheat. Just it's an American wheat. We ruin everything. So and then now here's where the kitchen sink part comes into. It comes into the hops because I at this point my hop supply was running low-ish, although I always have a ton of hops, but some of them are just so out there, I don't even know what they taste like and don't know what to use yet. But I knew what these hops were like, so I used these. Well, first I used Cluster at 60 minutes. That was just to draw out the bitterness. And a nice bitterness, not an aggressive bitterness. If I used CTZ or Magnum, it may have been a little too much for this. So Cluster is right down the middle. It's a 7% alpha acid hop. That would give me a nice neutral bitterness to go and let the malts take center stage like they should. To that, this is where it's a little strange. I use Cryocentennial hops, which I would normally use traditional Centennial hops, but I didn't have any, and I did have a 2-ounce pack of Cryo. Those are strong. They're 14%, so I use them very sparingly. I didn't mention I used a 1/2 ounce of Cluster at 60 minutes, so for the Cryo hops, they're pretty sparing for this beer. Quarter ounce at 5 minutes, a quarter ounce at a little bit of a whirlpool. It wasn't very long. It was maybe like a 10, 15 minute whirlpool at about 200 degrees just to get a little bit of character in this beer. It was a beer for beer drinkers, but plus sized. I want it to be a little more than it normally is. Then I tried something that didn't really stand out like I thought it would. I put in 1/2 ounce of fresh orange peel, which I zested right before throwing it in the boil. Sweet orange, navel orange, completely washed it so it wasn't wax I was pulling off. Smelled really good putting it in. But by the time all was said and done with fermentation, it just didn't come out. Maybe it's enhancing everything indirectly, but it did not. I wanted there to be kind of a noticeable orange character to make it a distinctively Florida beer. And that just didn't happen. And so if I was going to do that again, I think I'd have to put a lot more in. So we'll see. I don't know if I'm going to do this exactly again. I'd like to adjust this after having done this. But it actually came out really well. And I'm actually quite happy with it. So it's a really good base. And then for the yeast, I use the American wheat strain by Omega, the OYL002. So I picked this specifically instead of a lager strain. Well, one, I didn't have time to do a proper lager, so I wasn't going to do that. And the reason I picked it above a different ale strain was from the description from Omega, which says it's a powerful fermenter that leaves behind a light, tart, refreshingly crisp character, fairly clean and lightly dry. And that's what I wanted. I wanted this to be lager-esque, but obviously not a proper lager. And it did come across like that at serving time. I'm not sure how it is now. I'm about to find out. This was, oh my gosh, what's the date? This was over a month ago, plus about a month and a week ago. So I wouldn't say the beer is old. This is not a hoppy beer. This actually might be better than it was that day. We'll find out. But that was the recipe. The water profile, let me check here. I'm not sure that I customized it or picked one directly from Beersmith. So let's see. I got to get a water tab, I guess, to find that out. Match profile. Oh, I picked Yellow Balance. I picked a pre-defined one, which I believe these yellow, amber, brown, and black profiles are taken directly from Brewing Water spreadsheet. I could be wrong on that. I think I'm right, though. But I would not put money on that statement. So these are taken from somewhere, and that's what I used because I wasn't looking to, again, dial in the style to absolute perfection. I just wanted it to be an enjoyable beer, which, again, I think it proved to be. So in the end, it was brewed, fermented, kegged, carbonated, highly carbonated. I wanted it to be nice and fizzy and crisp, and I called it Florida Day Drinker, and it served its purpose. So in that regard, it was successful. Was it a murder hornet? No. Was it a carrot cake sour? No. Was it a freaking blue raspberry snow cone seltzer? Hell no. Nothing was. That was insane. This thing was neon blue, and you saw every wannabe and maybe be influencer in Florida at this thing walking around that courtyard with this neon blue drink taking their picture. It was cool to be a part of that, but I was like, man, we put a lot of effort in these beers. So, no, I jest. That was awesome. We're going to do that again. In fact, spoiler alert, anyone in Orlando, when it comes time for the Orlando Beer Fest, we're going to have a quote, snow cone stand, unquote, as part of our tent this year. I think we're going to have four of these snow cone seltzers because it was such a big hit. And they were actually really, it was really good on top of it. Not only was it good, it was a hit visually, but it tasted good. So that's a fun project my wife is going to lead up. I'm hoping she's bringing in some of the other female brewers from the club to do that, but we'll see. That's not for this show. That's for Two Girls, One Brew, if you're not listening. That's where that will be talked about. So as far as brew day goes on this, I don't have any stories, which means probably nothing really happened, which is surprising because there's so much weed in this. I'd expect to be telling a story about the most stubborn stuck mash I've ever had in my life on the Anvil Foundry, but apparently that didn't happen. I never write down when I use rice hulls. I should do that so I know to use them. But I bet you I put in a significant amount of rice hulls, maybe even a full pound, because wheat is a pain in the you know what to work with. It gums up, it clogs up, and makes stuck mashes. The first time I've ever made an American wheat, it was tribopoline. It was, named after the Homer Simpson quote. That was my first introduction to stuck mashes, and it was a miserable brew day. And ever since then, I put in so many rice hulls, which is fine. It does not affect the flavor or the aroma. At worst, it's going to affect your sparge maybe a little too fast, faster than you want, but I really don't care about sparge at all. I'm not a sparge guy. I'm basically a single infusion plus a gallon of sparge. That's all I do, so I don't care. I have no stories from that. So it must've went well. That's it. So, all right, that is it for this introduction. I am going to play a little bit of some kind of riff here, and then we're going to see how this tastes a month and a week later. All right. I got a pour of the American wheat in front of me, and its color, very nice color. It's like a kind of a pale gold yellow around there. It's not straw. It's not light. It's kind of got that like American beer yellow to it. It's a little, I guess, hazy. It's not completely opaque. It's not like hazy, like a hazy IPA, but it's not perfectly clear. And that's because there's a ton of wheat in it. And I do believe for the style guidelines, that's fine. The head on it felt pretty quick. That's kind of, if I remember correctly, how it poured about halfway through the keg in general. Just did not seem, even strangely without that wheat, hold a thick head, but it holds a ring. It holds a ring of carbonation around the top and a dusting of carbonation bubbles across the top of the beer as well, but it was not a thick head like I kind of expect with the amount of wheat that was in this. Although it's not near as much as a Hefeweizen would be. Otherwise, it's a pretty good looking beer. I was a little concerned. I bottled this from my Blickman Quick Carb, and I tend to lose carbonation on that. But it looks like so far, it looks like it's held a pretty decent amount of carbonation. I might like it a little spritzier. I haven't tasted it yet, so I don't know. And I figured I'd go ahead and have the style guideline up for this as I take a sample of it. I'm not sure it's going to go to competitions. It's not going to go to the next one, but I have plenty of it. So it's not a bad beer to have around for a problem or for a entry. If I'm running into short or have a problematic beer that I know is not going to win, this is not a bad substitution for it. So I'm going to go for the aroma, and I'm going to see what the... let's see what the appearance says, since I already mentioned that. And it does say pale yellow to gold. That's about right. Clarity may range from brilliant to hazy with yeast approximating Weiss beer. Big long-lasting head. So I hit everything with the long-lasting head. So give me 2 points. I ain't going to get three on that appearance. So let's see what I get in the aroma. Very grainy. Malt sweetness. A little bit of the alcohol presence without it being boozy. Some floral hops, but nothing spicy or overwhelming. Mostly, it smells like a beer. It's one of those beers that smells like a beer. Before you get into craft beer and you only know beer, American beer, it smells like that, only richer. It's a little stronger than that, probably because it's a little stronger in flavor and aroma overall. So let's see, for aroma, low, moderate, grainy, I got that bready or doughy wheat character. I wouldn't say it's bready or doughy. It's definitely grainy. Light to moderate malt sweetness. I think I might have, moderate. Okay, moderate is good. It's not heavy. I would say that. Moderate ester is optional, usually neutral profile. Banana is inappropriate. Low. Yeah, that's probably when people mix up using German, trying to make an American version of a Hefeweizen with German yeast. Low, moderate, citrus, spicy, floral, and fruity hop aroma. So I got the floral. Not typically dry hop, it says, and no clove phenols, again, going back to the Hefeweizen strain of yeast. The orange peel, I just don't get it in this, and I know I never really got it in the taste. I kind of, maybe, now I know it's in there, I know it's in, should I say that? Should I try that all again? Since I know it's in there, I kind of get a sweet fruit candy character, I think, but that might be complete bias on my senses, knowing that that's there. I think if I handed this to someone and just didn't tell them even what it was, not even the style, and just said, give me the aroma description, they would never say that. That's my opinion. I think, like I said, there's a little pre-knowledge bias to what's in this. I think it's mostly the floral hops, if any kind of character outside of the alcohol and the malt. All right, so going into taste on this, let's see what that is. And it tastes like beer. It tastes like it smells. There is a certain amount of crispness to it, which is interesting because there's nothing in here that should really be crisp, except maybe the just kind of uninterrupted malt flavor, I should say. There's no competition for almost any other flavor in this other than malt. So maybe that's where the perception of crispness comes from. Not quite a lager crispness. I should have picked another word, but I'm sticking with that. But it's still got that character there. It's definitely got the malt sweetness. Not a whole lot. There is a distinct wheat character on the finish. That's about the only time I get it. The finish and lingers in the aftertaste, I should say. I think maybe aftertaste is probably stronger than the actual finish. And that's about it. Otherwise, it's really just a sweet malt, a little bit of crisp, just a hint of bitter, just a little bit of bitter to make the size of your tongue kind of react, but not a bitter bomb by any means. And it would not, I don't think that's even a descriptor you'd use describing this beer. It's just there to kind of cut through that malt sweetness that this is. The yeast profile, very clean. I'm not getting any kind of yeasty character, no esters or anything. I just shared the recording of me building this beer, but it's a little while later. Let me check the yeast. Oh, I used American wheat yeast. That's right. I forgot. I thought I used the Chico strain. So maybe there's a little more maybe character in this lending towards that than if I would have used that California Chico strain yeast, but not just not a yeast forward beer. It's not the flavors I'm getting from this. The forward flavors are not from the yeast. The yeast are enhancing those. So I'm going to take one more taste here. It's incredibly refreshing. And that was kind of what it was, I guess, received at the beer festival. This was served at the Hamlin Beer Festival. It was the only beer that was a straight up beer that we had, which is by intent. We wanted something that people would, someone that's not into sours. We had a candy cake sour, Murder Hornet, a banana vanilla cinnamon Weizenbach, a double IPA with honey, a snow cone seltzer, and then this. And so this was obviously not the standout beer compared to those. It just wouldn't be. But it was an option there for people that looked at the menu and aren't into those off-the-wall beers like we had and want a beer. It was there for that, and it served that purpose, and it was as well received as it could have been in that company. It's hard to stand out, but I brought home, about a third of a keg, I guess. I pulled out 9 bottles of it. Typically you get 50-ish bottles. So that's closer to a fifth, I guess, isn't it? A fifth of a keg. So that's pretty good. 4/5 of a keg gone 4 gallons, basically. So what that comes down to is pretty good compared to, like I said, what it was next to, especially Murder Hornet. Murder Hornet's hard to compete with, and then you heard the others as well. So I didn't check flavor here. Let's check. Light to moderate, strong, bready, doughy, or grainy wheat flavor. Okay. Light is, sure, it's in the aftertaste, which can linger into the finish. That's funny. I should have read the whole sentence. So that's dead on. May have a moderate malty sweetness that can finish quite dry and crisp. Oh, wow. Okay, so I guess that's by design for this style. Low to moderate hop bitterness, definitely low, sometimes lasting in the finish. Balance is usually even, but maybe slightly bitter. Okay, mine's not slightly bitter. Mine is definitely more, if you were to say of a slightly anything, it's slightly sweet. And it also adds low to moderate citrus, spicy, floral, or fruity hop flavor. Moderate esters optional. No banana, no clove phenols. So, yep, that's, I'd say, I'm most of that. That's why I said it's a good contender. It's not a surefire winner, but if I don't have anything else, these are on hand. Mouthfeel says medium to light, medium light to medium body. It's definitely medium. I think so. Medium to high carbonation. It's probably at best medium, and I attribute that to the Blickman beer gun, which is not the Blickman beer gun's fault. I did not carbonate this for use with the Blickman beer gun. I carbonated this for serving at a festival. If I was going to use a Blickman beer gun specifically for this beer, I would have over-carbonated it because I know I would have lost carbonation. So it's not the device's fault. It just was not prepared for using that. Slight creaminess, yeah, I get a little bit, is optional. All right, so, but I still think I get a little bit of slight creaminess. Wheat beers sometimes have a soft, fluffy impression. Maybe, I don't know. My palate doesn't seem to identify fluffy, although I did have had an IPA recently from Humble C that I described as fluffy. It was good, so I guess I know what that does mean. So overall, good, solid. It's a solid beer to have on hand when you have a bunch of really rich anything, rich IPAs, rich sours, rich stouts, rich, really forward malt beers like a brown ale or an amber ale, but you need a beer for someone to have a choice outside of those really big, heavy on the palate beers. This works. It was what it was made for. It did its job, and then a little bit more because I do have those bottles saved for possible competition. It's not going in directly, but it is by no means a last resort. It's a very close to starter second stringer of my beer. So I think this one came out pretty good. It's a pretty decent recipe, pretty easy recipe, and actually a pretty nice beer. I'm going to have one more sip before I wrap up on that. Yep, I like it. The more I'm drinking it, the more my palate is adjusting to the malt or the sweetness, and the sweetness is going away and lending to that bitterness. And it's actually becoming quite balanced the more I drink it. So, all right, that is it for this episode. I've got some more right behind this. Another kind of one of those short recap episodes like I did for this for a upcoming beer, and then a full-fledged beginning to end brewing day proper one as well. I'm not sure which one will be first behind this, but that is what is coming next on the pipeline because I'm about to do those tastings. As you can tell, my work day is over because I'm about to do three tastings in front of this mic. You might be able to figure out which one is the third by how I sound on the mic when I'll send done. So until then, I will say thank you for listening, and I'll see you in that next episode.